You know, it's actually pretty neat that all I need to do the podcast is a laptop, a microphone, and some time to talk. That I'm able to wend these stories together, talk about things from my past or things I've been thinking about, and after a bit of editing, give it to you. There's no additional staff. There's no equipment that I need to go down to. I don't need to sign anything out. I don't need to, in fact, do much of anything except for talk about what I've been thinking about and provide it to you. I'm really in a mood to think about the basics and think about what makes us what we are, because I've been not feeling well lately, and it always makes me a little bit reflective. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It, a podcast about technology, history, and getting myself out of debt. Thanks to Daniel Boyd, Peter Healy, and the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. As I mentioned in a previous episode, I was trying to do a shoot for some Apple II-related footage when I took a turn in what I thought was an open access road and instead slammed my car into a pole that was across the road and a little bit hard to see. What that means is that I was driving at a pretty good clip when I hit it, and I went from whatever that speed was to zero. In fact, the last thought I would have had if the pole had made it through the window was, huh, it appears the windshield exploded. It was powerful enough to make the windshield shatter. I saw that it had done a pretty good job of crumpling up parts of the hood. I was able to get it home, but there was a lot of work that had to be done. And because I didn't feel immediate trauma, and I didn't feel that bad in the days afterwards, just a little bit roughed up, a little bit tired, I kind of put it to the side as being able to bounce back. Part of this is because when we go through life, we get knocked up and we walk away from it, and I think a part of us internalizes that maybe there wasn't that much damage, or that our bodies are capable of some level of magical recovery when things happen fast enough. You know, like it fools your body into thinking that it was so quick it didn't have to get injured. The long-term effects of it, though, sometimes make themselves known weeks or months after it happens. I had to take a long trip to do some sorting of an archive, and when I put that seatbelt on and drove for a few hours, it really occurred to me where the injury had happened, because the seatbelt was like a puzzle piece explaining exactly where these different minor twinges I had been having came from. But more than that, I started to feel a little strange in other parts of my body. In fact, they felt a little bit like what I had before I realized I had to have another heart stent put in. This concerned me. I have things to do. I don't need to spend them getting sick, falling under some sort of condition, and ignoring it until something you can't ignore. So I've done what I'm supposed to do. I reached out to my primary care physician. We went over a litany of possible tests, and then I had an appointment with my cardiologist just to see if he found anything odd. The results of all these tests are that nothing really leaps out. There's no tumor or condition or internal bleeding or broken bones that would possibly account for how I feel. But on the other hand, there is a very clear, very distinct accident that I did go through just a little while ago, so I'm writing it up to that. Now, this is just the back and forth of life. You experience something bad, and then you feel it on and off for a while afterwards. Maybe it becomes part of your memories or something you think back to. That's just the way life is. What I want to focus on, though, is that for at least 2 weeks there, I was overcome with a real down feeling, one of thinking that whatever escape I was able to do when I had my heart attack, that whatever trick I did that made it that I survived, was coming back for payment. I spend a lot of time reading biographies and seeing how lives go, especially how people are with their medical conditions. And one theme that I often see is people who experienced a problem and they got past it, but then more problems came back and eventually they succumbed to them. In that same way, there's really two ways it can go with me. One is that I had the heart attack, got fixed up, and it's just a matter of living out the rest of my life. Or it's the first snapping branch in what will eventually be a hurricane of health problems that I won't be able to overcome. Obviously, I'm taking extraordinary steps on every level to make sure I'm not caught by surprise, that there isn't some reading or knowledge that I could have had that I just avoided out of either a sense of fear or not wanting to look too deep. I've got appointments with an allergist and appointments with other specialists just to keep an eye on things, just to see if there's something I've got that I haven't been able to acknowledge up to this point. Again, though, I want to talk about these 2 weeks. It is extraordinarily interesting to be living your life with a strict awareness of its potential coming end. I don't just mean the fight or flight reflex when you find yourself in a dangerous situation and you don't know if you're going to get out of it. I'm talking about the experience of feeling like something is going to get you sooner rather than later, and you need to start thinking in terms of weeks and months instead of years and decades. Different people have different reactions when that news comes. When it came to me, and I was worried that through all of these investigations and tests being made on me, something big was going to be missed, some sort of catastrophic medical situation that was going to weigh down on me, it was interesting to see where my priorities were. I have a number of projects that are ongoing. They're open-ended. There's never going to be an end to them. People send me items to turn into a digital format, and I can spend the rest of my life doing that, either doing it myself or organizing others to do it. It's an endless process. That will never have a conclusion. That will never have a point where I close the box on the last shipment and say, well, that was fun. No, like they say, that is a project that will be abandoned, not finished. Then there's a whole class of projects that I call the inboxes. Either films that I want to see or television shows I want to watch, or literally my email inbox of people making requests or asking questions or wanting me to weigh into something. Maybe it's just somebody that I want to give a really good answer to, and ironically, I'll wait weeks before getting back to them. All of those inboxes are sitting at various points of my life. Whether or not I ultimately see every television show I want to, or sit through every documentary that's caught my eye, I'm not sure in the greater scheme of things that's going to have much of an effect. I've seen thousands and thousands of movies and shows. I've experienced a lot of the great works people have to offer in that realm. I'm good. I started on a project earlier this year where I have a library of books in my apartment, and I'm just pushing through everything on the shelves in order just to say that I definitely read it. And if I find I can't get through it, then I'm going to give the book away because it's obviously not a part of my life. After this, these commitments and projects that I feel I've put myself onto, it starts to get a little bit interesting in terms of why I have any regret they haven't been done. There's people I hoped to reconnect with someday, folks who I had in my past that I either wanted to reconcile with or give them one last sound thrashing before I go. There's places and experiences that I had floating around as something I wanted to do someday, and my not getting there would probably affect me a lot more than it would affect them. And of course, there's the stories of life, the people I keep track of, and I'm always excited to see what they have next, and the idea of never finding out what was going to happen, perhaps, is a little sad. After that, it's just the collection of friends and family and acquaintances that I have, and having the time I did get with them and wishing it was more, always wishing it was more. After that, the line goes dead. I'm not sure there's much else that I have real regret for. I had philosophy and lessons and learning from life that I wish I could share with others, and I never got around to writing down. But there's a lot of people in that space. I'm not worried that life advice is going to be coming from me in a way that's truly unique or truly something that they weren't going to get elsewhere. I've had an extraordinarily lucky time of it. Not many people were overly interested in what I had to say before I was 15, but after that, it kind of grows and grows. I had columns in high school, I did lots of projects in college, and then from that point on, it was reaching out to greater and greater audiences, reaching thousands and then tens of thousands of people. I've been really on the lucky side of being listened to and having a voice and knowing that things I'm saying were reaching an audience. I have no complaints in that quarter. Whether my voice goes on for the amount it has or 20 years more, I know that something good came of it. In perhaps a real inward look, this podcast has been a blessing of its own. Obviously, it was started for fundraising, but we are going to probably end up at the end with something on the range of 100 hours of me speaking. 100 hours of philosophy and information and revelation of things that I've lived through. Most people are not lucky enough to have anything like that behind them. The ability to speak out about things you believe in or the way you've looked at the world and then have people see it, hear it, experience it is a gift that not many people will get. Through the discipline of having to come out with episodes every month, I've had to dig deep, and I've got a little farther to go. Things that people never knew about me, or that I never wanted to talk about before, have come out in these episodes. I've reached into places that I never thought, and from it comes a feeling of lightness, of being able to move out of my mind things I may have been ruminating on and then know that others have heard it and I get to move on. If there's been any weird side effect to it, it's been people making references to these previously private experiences and me taking a while trying to figure out how they know this about me. That's an incredibly odd feeling. But it does mean that buried in these MP3 files is a part of me that would live on no matter what happened to the person. In general, we don't get to choose how long we're going to stay. We can change the numbers a bit. We can stick around longer than if we didn't pay attention. But in the aggregate, it's still going to come when it comes. What you're hearing now could possibly be the whining of a near 50-year-old, 20 years before he goes. Or it becomes the poignant, prescient view of somebody who didn't truly know the danger and the badness that lurked inside of him health-wise. In both cases, I'm really happy that I've gotten the chance to speak at this time, about things I'm thinking about subjects that excite me and I hope excite my audience. And I really want people to feel like all the time I've spent recording all of these hours and all the hours that are going to come are some of the greatest opportunities that I've had and perhaps some of the best therapy I could have ever asked for. So my future extends in front of me. A number of health tests, a number of examinations, a matter of keeping watch on myself, protecting myself, making sure that I don't avoid signals, signs, warnings that something might be in trouble. Continuing, as best I can, to beat down all of these inboxes I've set up for myself, these infinite projects lacking an end or a conclusion, and enjoying the fact that every day I wake up is a bonus, is a brilliant opportunity extending out that I get to grab with both hands and craft into something amazing. This is Jason Scott Talks His Way Out of It. Thanks to Emilio Oliveira, Wayne Arthurton, Scott Roseanne, Scott McGrady, Forrest Fuqua, Mark Pilgrim, and James Bakoyanu, along with the hundreds of other supporters on Patreon and elsewhere, who have been supporting me and helping me get out of debt. At this point, I have very little concern that what I've got is something truly terrible and terminal. My heart is doing really fine. The cardiologist absolutely verified that. I have no broken bones. There's nothing dark in any of the images they've taken of me. I'm doing fine. I just have to admit to myself that getting into a car accident at 49 is a lot different than the ones I got into in my teens and 20s and 30s. There aren't many knocks I can take and walk away from. Perhaps the best thing to do is to make as much of an effort as I can to avoid those knocks. Obviously, that doesn't work for everything. Life does have a way of surprising you. But this will give me a little bit of a lesson that my body is not something I can just throw onto the fire, heat up, and then strike against metal and figure that it's all going to work out.